This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So normally, welcome back to ESPN 1000 with Danny Zetterman, Chris Black, I'm David Kaplan. Normally, we reach out to our dear friend, the great Dan Plesac, who I worked with down on TV, and he's now been several years on MLB Network, just killing it, just amazing. And we reach out to him and go, dude, no, you're busy. Can we steal you for 10 minutes to talk Cubs and White Sox? Opening days come here, and now we got our teams playing, and we need to talk baseball with you. Well, we don't have baseball right now, but we have our relationship with our friend Dan Plesac, and he is kind enough to join us now. Daniel, first of all, how do we find you, yours, everybody happy, healthy, and safe?
Everything is good, Cap. Everything is good. I tell you, what a day yesterday. I've been out here in New Jersey now for 12 years, and I live, my condo, I am right on the Hudson River. And yesterday morning, Cap, I'm telling you, I thought the place was blowing up. I've never heard so much noise. All the helicopters, the naval ship Comfort came up the Hudson River right past my condo and docked here in New York City. And it was a pretty awesome sight to see. Social distancing, there were a lot of people. Like, I'm literally looking at the Hudson now as I'm speaking to you. And it's been, Dave, there's a buzz about living in this Northeast. It's fast-paced, it's hustle bustle. There's an energy.
Danny, I'm going to put you on hold because we're getting a really bad signal from your phone. Hang on a second, and we'll reestablish with Dan. I think he's, when you put it on your shoulder and you hold it there with your chin, it garbles the phone. So anybody out there ever tries to do that, the people on the other end can't understand you. Are we good?
Any better?
Yeah, it's better. Better.
Okay. It's just been really eerily quiet here. Like, this area, there's a huge buzz, there's always traffic, there's always commotion. I'm literally an eighth of a mile from the Lincoln Tunnel, and Cap, it is like, it's Deadville. And I will say this to the people of New York and New Jersey, they've done a great job about staying home. If you don't have to be out, don't be out. And it's been a little freaking because I'm like literally in the center of where the worst part of it is in the United States. And, you know, it's hit home. It's been very eerily quiet where I live. Let's put it that way.
So as you are, you're not ready to talk baseball because there's really no baseball to talk about other than what we could do with this season. So I ask you to summon your years of experience in the game as an elite pitcher. And if I said to you, hey, Danny, we're going to play a 60-game season, a 40-game, whatever the number is, but we can use, as Anthony Rizzo was on this show yesterday, he said, I'm up for any kind of wacky thing you want to try. It's a one-off, and let's see if it sticks. If Dan Plesac was the commissioner, what would you like to add to the game for this year and go, let's try that?
You know what? I think what would be cool, it looks like if we're going to be able to salvage a season, it's going to have to go well into October, the regular season. I'm kind of looking forward to and kind of hoping there's a neutral site World Series. Now, where that venue would be, I don't know if it would be Miami. It would be somewhere in the central part of the country. But I just think a centrally located World Series, Cap, would be a really cool thing. And it may have to be a reality because if this season goes into the month of November, it's going to be a tough sell in the Midwest and the East Coast with the weather going to be able to hold up in Chicago, in Detroit, in Boston, in New York, in Cleveland. That's a tough sell at that time of the year to play in that kind of inclement weather.
Scott Boras, who was on with Waddle and Sylvie the other day, but he told the LA Times that he believes that we should have the World Series always as a neutral site spot. I don't like that idea. He also said the way the circumstances are this year, he'd like to see the World Series played on Christmas Day. What do you think of that idea?
It's out there. You know, it's different. I do know this, and I agree with Anthony Rizzo. I think, and this isn't just like in different parts or sections of the U.S., this is a worldwide pandemic. And I think right now that the players, more than ever, there's talk that there's more than likely going to be doubleheaders at least one day a week. And that, you know, to baseball players is, that's the last thing you want to hear. But I think the players right now, they realize that 2020 is a very unique set of circumstances like the world has never seen. And I think, Cap, that the players would be open to whatever the Players Association, the management side, the Baseball Central Office, whatever they figured it could come up with to salvage the season. And I don't know when that's going to be, Cap. Something tells me that we'll be playing baseball in July, maybe not in full stadiums and empty stadiums, but I think sometime in July we're going to have the game back, and it's going to go well into October, and more than likely it's going to be wild because if the NBA is trying to finish their season and then the NFL starts in the fall, we have nothing to watch on TV right now. We could get into November where we've got four or five major sports going on all at the same time.
Okay, and we're talking to Dan Plesac from the MLB Network. I used to work with him on television. So when Anthony was on the show yesterday, I asked him if he's been watching, because they've been running on your channel, MLB Network, the top games. And so Game 7 was on the other day, and then the show Joy in Wrigleyville. And he said, honest to goodness, he was standing in the kitchen getting something to eat, and it's Chapman facing Rajay Davis. He goes, and I literally am looking at the TV going, throw a slider! Don't throw the fastball! He said, I got that same sick feeling when he hit it that I did standing at first base. Can you believe that?
Yeah, you know, I will never forget this because I was making my way down to do the postgame show with Brian Kenny. And Waddle and Sylvie, Waddle had texted me, hey, where are you at? Why don't you come say hi before you head down to the set? I said, okay, I'm leaving the trailer now. And Cap, it was eerie. So I'm trying to make my way down to say hi to Waddle and Sylvie. And as I am, the usher stops me and says, hey, you can't go down in the middle of the inning. So I'm watching this at bat, and that was the Rajay Davis at bat. And when he hit the home run, and I've never been one of these doom and gloom guys. I'm always a half glass full, right? And I really thought when that ball left and it stayed fair and it was gone, I started to think, Cap, there's something to the black cat. There's something to 1969. There's something, you know, the Bartman foul ball. Maybe this organization, they're just cursed. Maybe there's something to this. And I didn't want to believe it all along. But I'm telling you, that was the last guy that you would ever think that would hit a home run off Aroldis Chapman. And that's what made it so crazy is, you know, Rajay Davis, he's been a journeyman player, been with several teams. And when that happened, you think, oh no, now it's tied. And you always feel like the advantage goes to the team playing at home, particularly in a World Series, and the Cubs were able to flip the script.
So the amazing thing is, Waddle and Sylvie were asking this question yesterday, and I'll give my opinion on it later, but I want yours. Sylvie said, knowing how it ended as a Cubs fan, are you glad you lived through the Rajay Davis home run? Because for me, it was the greatest, most intense roller coaster ride of your life, but you came out okay on the other side, or would you rather they have won 9-1, crushed him, never took Kyle Hendricks out, not even the sweat.
No.
I enjoyed the roller coaster.
Me too. I'll say this. I've been to so many wonderful sporting events and baseball games in my life. I've been very fortunate. I will say this. I thought the coolest game, baseball game, I have ever been to, and I was in Game 7 of the World Series the last couple of seasons. Last year was a great one. And the year before, in 2017, when the Astros beat the Dodgers. But I'm telling you, Cap, the league championship series, the night that the Cubs clinched at home against the Dodgers, might have been the coolest sporting event that I've ever seen. Growing up in the area, and I was standing near the left field foul pole because Robert Flores and I, we were going to do an MLB Tonight from the field on site when the game was over. And so where they had us stand was right by the left field foul pole, standing next to like five or six of Chicago's finest on horses. And I remember that when that last out, the chanting and the singing of Go Cubs Go, it gave me goosebumps. And to this day, that was probably the coolest baseball game, because to me, that was like almost 100 years of Cub fans that have been through so many disappointments. And I think it was the reality of they were actually going to the World Series. I thought that was cooler than winning the World Series. Now, granted, I didn't have a vested interest in it because I didn't, you know, I wasn't part of the team. But Cap, that league championship series, that game against the Dodgers, that to me was the coolest sporting event I've ever been to.
Yeah, actually, Todd Hollinsworth and I talked with you before the last out of that series because you were coming down to the field, and I remember looking in the crowd and I'm seeing people crying. Like,
it was crazy.
Tears rolling down their face like, oh my God, I live to see the Cubs in the World Series.
You know, the coolest part about that night was, you know, the younger crowd, the teens, the 20s, the 30s, the younger crowd, they can hoop and holler and they're going to have, but it was the older crowd that was at the game, the older crowd that was on the streets that just were like taking it all in and thinking, like, my grandfather, who got me into baseball, never had a chance to see the Cubs play in the World Series. My great-grandfather, my uncle, there were so many stories of people that have gone generations that all they wanted their grandparents were to watch the Cubs and hopefully see them play and win a World Series. And that game against the Dodgers, that was the coolest night, I think, in all of my years covering sports.
Hey, last one. We also had this question yesterday. What is the best trade in Cubs history? We had a lot of nominees: Rizzo for Cashner, Dempster for Hendricks, Arrieta Strope for Clevinger Feldman. Fergie Jenkins came over from the Phillies in the mid-60s and had six straight 20-win seasons. Trying to think, what were the other candidates?
I'm going to give you one. How about Sammy Sosa?
We had that. Sammy for George Bell. I mean, there were some amazing trades. What's the best one? Oh, Sandberg for Larry Bowa. Sandberg for DeJesus.
Right? I'm going to this is my personal opinion. And forget about what happened with Sammy Sosa and the steroids, and Mark McGwire and the allegations and all that. Cap, I was there at the beginning in 1993, 1994, when Sammy was acquired and he was making himself. But there was a 5-6 year window where he was the Cubs. And that wasn't an easy thing to do when you had Harry Carey and there were so many things about Chicago sports. Michael Jordan at that time, the White Sox were getting good with Frank Thomas and Robin Ventura. They were starting to play really good baseball. There was a window there where baseball, it was about Sosa and it was about McGwire. And I don't think when the Cubs made the trade for Sammy Sosa that they had any idea that they were acquiring that kind of a guy.
Yep.
And so to me, I know the story didn't end well, but man, there was about a 4 or 5 year window, Cap, where if you talked about the Cubs, you talked about Sammy Sosa.
Hey man, thank you for taking time for us, and we look forward to when we can talk real baseball with you. But stay safe, stay healthy, and take care of your horses. You still got horses?
Just have one right now, and he's on the mend. A pretty nice horse, but I'm not sure he's going to make it back to the races. He reached last year at two races, two wins. We had a little bit of a setback in his knee. His name is Cake Daddy, but he'll live to fight another fight.
God bless you.
You got it, Cap. Be good.
Talk to you. There he is. That's our guy, my old partner, Dan Plesac, as good a person as you will deal with. Bulls doc release date has been moved up if you missed the news. ESPN worked tirelessly throughout the night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to move it up from June to April 19. We'll tell you how they're going to release it and which three-peat was best. 312-332-3776. Plus, we're playing our biggest name drop contest. Get the biggest name to call us. You could win a really cool prize pack. Be right back.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. With Danny Zetterman and Chris Black, I'm David Kaplan. And no, Danny, I was not incepted by this. I just decided after I was watching the Bulls documentary. The sound effect, inappropriate. I was not accepted.
How so? It's from the movie. It's appropriate. No, we're just giving context for people that they don't know. Go ahead.
So I was watching the game last night, which, as I said earlier, my wife still doesn't understand. How can you guys keep watching all these games? They're 20 years old. Yeah, that's the point, Mindy. There's no sports right now, and it's a lot of fun to reminisce about Michael and Scotty and Dennis and all of that. Anyway, Ron Harper he bangs a three from the top of the key, pumps his fist, timeout, Jeff Van Gundy. Got to get out on that guy. And I said to my wife, you realize that I got him and Ron Hunter drunk in the Holiday Inn in DeKalb before we played them the next day when they were ranked 17th in the country. And she's like, I've never heard that story, and you tell me stories all the time, this, over and over. So I had to tell her the story, which Danny and Chris know, and it's on the Wheel of Cap, of stories. But it was just cool looking at him last night, pumping his fist, hitting a three, knowing that the night before they played little old Northern Illinois, and they were ranked in the top 20, and I happened to go to the bar at the Holiday Inn, I can't remember the name of the bar was, and a girl I was dating was a cocktail waitress in there, and I wanted to make sure our players weren't there, because we had this big game the next day, and I looked, and there's Ron Hunter and Ron Harper. Ron Hunter's now a coach, and Ron Harper was a great player, and I said, hey, here's money, I want you to get those guys wasted, and I stood on the other side of the bar. They had no idea who I was, and I'm watching her bring them shots and drinks, and we kicked their ass the next day. It was awesome.
First of all, I love that story. That's a great Cap story that's on the Wheel of Cap.
Yep.
Second of all, you were 150,000% incepted. On line two, Rich, on the south side, the topic of his call is great Ron Harper memory.
I didn't see you, that.
Oh, he didn't see that.
You didn't see that, but you happened to come back with the Ron Harper story, bragging, patting yourself on the back that you weren't incepted.
I was not incepted.
Honestly, you are the easiest man on the planet to incept. It's unbelievable. And then you actually have the audacity to brag that you were not incepted.
I was not
incepted. Why don't you now take Rich on line two, who called in with the great Ron Harper story, which incepted your brain?
I was not incepted. Hey, Rich, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, Catman, love the show.
I love you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I was telling Danny, I remember as a kid watching, I was watching Bob and Marianne in the morning, and their get after Bulls games was Ron Harper. They used to get him in the morning, eating breakfast somewhere. And they were talking about a play between him and Scotty, and they were encouraging him to call Scotty. So he whips out his old Motorola flip phone, and he starts dialing Scotty Pippen's number. But as he's dialing it, he's saying Scotty's phone number live on air. And you can hear the seg producer telling him to stop. I think he got to, like, all but the last two digits.
So you make 99 calls, you're going to get it eventually.
Yeah, so they're trying to tell him. And then Bob, you know, Bob is actually is telling him. Bob Serrata is telling him, hey, we don't need that. We don't need that. And then I think it was about a couple of days or so later, as a joke, they were saying that Scotty had changed his number because of Ron.
Yeah, I was covering practice one day at the Multiplex. I believe it was the Multiplex. It could have been the Birdo. They were both up at Deerfield. And players are saying to Michael, they're playing this game, who's the most famous person in your phone? And thanks for the call, Rich. Appreciate you, buddy. Who's the most famous person in your phone that you could call right now? They're all dropping, you know, this one, that. And Michael's like, Janet Jackson. And they're like, you can't call Janet Jackson. Puts it on speaker, a little cell phone thing. Goes, hey, Janet, the boys don't believe that you and I are friends. She's like, oh, how you doing, Michael? Janet Jackson, blah, blah, blah. And this guy, he was just incredible, man. He was the ultimate trash talker. The ultimate. And he backed up every single thing he did. Everything. 312-332-3776. So the Bulls documentary release from ESPN has been moved up. Which three-peat was the best for you? Jordan, me, Danny all went with three-peat two. Chris went with three-peat one. Look, they're both great, but for me, it's not even close. Three-peat two was way cooler. Miles has been holding from the south side. Hey, Miles, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, Cap. First time caller, long time listener. How you guys doing?
We're good. You healthy, safe, and doing okay?
Yeah, I still got to work, but, you know, I'm doing good. Fam's doing good. So
God bless you.
So far, so good. You too, fellas. Just to answer the question, I know you said it's easier for you to say part two, but I'm going to have to go with part one because being 9 years old, not really remembering the Bears winning, the June 1991, that was everything. Watching the Bulls on TV winning in Los Angeles. I went to every playoff game from 91 to 98. I missed, the only three I missed were the ones that they won at home, so I was bummed at that. But, I mean, Michael with the Lakers thing, with the switching of the hand, the six threes in 92, and then the incredible last play in 1993 to win it to Paxson. I mean, that was just, to me, that's just better than the other three. I understand Rodman, but the whole sequence of Michael 91 to 93 was just everything. So that's all I got to say, fellas. And y'all have a good day. Be safe. Have a good week.
You too. God bless you. Stay safe out there. I think that the Michael switching hands is the most overrated play he's ever made. Like, he gets all this love. He didn't have to switch hands. He could have easily laid it in. I think it's so overrated.
Cap, I think that take is that is such a good take that you can't even qualify it as a hot take, because if you actually go back and watch it, it's a mundane layup that the network blows up because it's the highlight. They continued the show, so it was burned into your memory.
Yeah.
But yeah, I recently just watched it. Like, it's, if Mike Conley made that, like, Mike Conley makes that layup twice a game.
Yeah.
In today's current NBA, it's not anything special. But to the last caller's point, you know, in the first three-peat, I kept saying something about how Michael was a better player. The thing to also consider is, like, we got the moment against the Lakers of switching hands. 6 3-point shots against the Blazers. Against the Suns, he had a 50-point game in the finals. And for the finals, he averaged 41 points. Against the Suns.
Yeah.
In the finals, 41 points.
It's incredible.
Like the last shot is by far it, and he hit a game winner against the Jazz previously in that second three-peat as well. But, like, Jordan was a better player, and there were, I feel like, better moments from the first three-peat from Michael specifically.
Well, the other cool thing is, you know, like in that Phoenix Suns thing you mentioned, he had a 50-point game. You sit in a scouting meeting, and your entire scouting meeting is, how are we handling Jordan? The freaking Pistons, it was the Jordan rules. Everything was off of, here's what we're going to do when he goes to his left. Here's who we're going to rotate. I mean, everything. And he still got 50.
Yeah, it was game four.
In an era where you could physically assault him.
Game four in Chicago, the Bulls win 111-105. And Jordan in that contest was incredible. Jordan in the game had 55 points. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. He went 21 of 37 from the field. He only attempted 1 3-point shot. 55 points. He didn't make any 3-point shots. He went 13 of 18 from the free throw line. But really, Jordan did it by getting to the basket, 55 points in an NBA Finals game. That's incredible. Game four against the Suns.
If you wanted to pick one moment, though, that encompasses who Michael Jordan was from both three-peat runs, it would have to be the flu game, wouldn't it? Game five in the 97 NBA Finals against the Jazz. The dude's as sick as a dog.
Let me ask you a question. If you knew that it was not the flu.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. Whatever it was that was holding him down, whatever poisoning. It was making him feel ill.
Are you doing air quotes over there, Kat?
Overcame it.
I just went.
Yeah. Like, are you food from poisoning. Here? Overrated with the switch hand. It wasn't the flu. It was hungover.
The switching hand was come ridiculous.
On. Okay, that's come fine. On. Why are you poo-pooing Michael Jordan's greatness?
I'm not poo-pooing. He's the greatest player
ever. It sounds like you're poo-pooing it. It sounds like you're being a LeBron truther.
I think, Danny, to your point, flu game, I don't know. To me, the first half in that Blazers game where he hit the 6 3-pointers, I don't know if there's anything better than what we saw from Jordan that half.
That was incredible. That was incredible. But the switching hands? Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this. So it comes out Sunday, April 19th. On April 19th, they're going to play the first episode, then the second episode. The following week on the 26th, they're going to play the first episode, the second episode again, then the third and fourth episode. A week later, May 3rd, ESPN is going to air the third and fourth episode again, and then the fifth and sixth episode. And it's going to go on like that until it's done. So it's going to start April 19th, and it's going to run through May 17th. The only time they're going to only air two episodes is the first week, and then every other week is four episodes. Is there anything other than this that could hold your attention for four straight hours on TV? I can't think of anything I would watch, movie or TV show, that I would binge watch for four straight hours except for this. I have a feeling if I'm free, and I have three kids, so that's hard to say I'm going to be free for four straight hours, but if I'm free on Sunday, May 3rd for 4 hours, I will definitely watch all 4 hours.
Well, just DVR it, then when the kids go to bed, watch all four straight.
Well, but still, to my point, is there anything you would watch for 4 hours other than this?
That'd be really hard to come up with it. I'd have to think about that. All right, let's take a fast time out. We'll come back and we'll discuss this. And are you stuck in Corona hell? And I don't mean your health. You're cooped up in the house going, okay, this is not good. We want to hear your horror stories. Like, okay, I'm at home with somebody. This is not good. We'll hear from you next.
Cap and Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN _ Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Don't forget Carmen and Yurko coming up at noon. Waddle and Selby are coming up at 2. Hoodie tonight. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. And we were talking about, Danny brought this up. I thought it was a good topic. The divorce rate is expected to go up. And it's because people are cooped up with people they might not want to be with. So we threw it out there and said, are you caught in Corona hell? Katie is listening, and she says she is. Hey, Katie.
Hey, Cap. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Appreciate you.
So I was in a walking boot for all of the fall. I'm a bartender in State College, Pennsylvania, with Penn State. So I just regained the ability to walk, and I'm trying to get my finances back up, and my bar got closed 2 weeks ago.
Oh, boy.
So I can walk, but I'm attempting to work by Instacart, which is a gamble in and of itself, going around and handing people things.
So are you quarantined by yourself, kind of?
I came down to visit my boyfriend in Arlington, Virginia. So I'm with him right now, so it's just the two of us.
How's that working out?
It's actually not too bad. I think I'm more annoyed with my cat than him right now, so I'd say it's
all
going
right.
Well,
God bless you and best of luck, and please stay safe and healthy, okay?
Thanks for staying entertaining, Cap.
You're the best. Appreciate you.
All right, bye.
Bye. There you go, Katie. This article in the New York Post, divorce rates jumping in Corona quarantine couples. According to leading Manhattan family law experts, couples forced to spend time together while quarantined in cramped apartments or even in palatial pads have not fared well for some of them during the coronavirus outbreak. New York City power divorce attorney William D. Zabel said, "We've had an increased amount of calls in the past week from people seeking representation for divorce proceedings. 50% increase. And I've been hearing that exact same thing from my colleagues at other firms." Danny, do you have any friends? Chris, any friends going, "I can't do this"?
Luckily, I don't. We hear the stories about people struggling with e-learning. I'll tell you what, e-learning is such a pain in the rear end. So there's a lot of people struggling with e-learning, and there's a lot of, like, what made me think about this is, if you're stuck at home, if your relationship was on the rocks before this all went down, you were living with a significant other and you weren't sure that this was the right person for you, or you were in a marriage and you were hit a rocky patch, and then all of a sudden this came along, you could be stuck in a real corona hell, being locked inside a house with somebody that you're just not seeing eye to eye with. And that would be a nightmare. I don't know, luckily, anybody going through this. Most people I know are just trying to survive the situation. Their job situations are in flux. It's tough with the e-learning, so they're trying to navigate that. But to add the difficulty of a bad relationship on top of that, that's why I would like to hear from those people if they're out there and they feel like sharing it with us.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you if you want to get it off your chest, so to speak. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Are you in a tough situation? I wonder if there's someone out there that, oh boy, I was actually getting ready or going through the divorce, but they haven't gotten into separate homes yet. Like they were, someone's sleeping in one bedroom, someone's, and they actually have reconciled. They've actually, you know what, spending all this time together, we've made it work. I think we're going to give it another try. Maybe there's a happy story out there, Danny.
Yeah, I wasn't looking for that. Wasn't necessarily looking for that. Once again, yeah. Cap takes. Chris and I were just talking. If we had a bin where, like, everything we said, you just kind of disregarded and went the other way, we could bring those back at later shows and do them again. I'm not looking for the happy stories today.
I would rather hear from someone who's in corona hell. I would. I think it'd be funny. I just don't know if there's that many that want to go that public.
I could imagine there's probably guys out there who are like about to have that beer with their buddy, and they're about to be like, "Hey, bro, so I've got to get out of this situation. Like, how do I talk to her to let her down easy?" Right?
Where do you go?
Because all guys think that they're letting them down easy, even though they're probably the problem, right?
Right.
So you're about to do it. You have the beer with your friend. You decide a game plan. Okay, this is what we are implementing. Here's the strategy I'm going to use. Here are the six different reasons to why this is not working out. So here we go. You go to do it, and then you realize everything has been shut down, and now you have nowhere to go.
Right.
You are probably quarantined with that person, so you are set. And if you were planning on leaving and you were planning on doing something else with your life, how would you go about finding a new place now? Right?
Here's the other thing. What about the financial ramification?
Yeah, sure. And I'm sure many people are looking around saying, "All right, paycheck to paycheck, but rent's due, and I'm not bringing any money in now based on the financial situation that the country's in. And my job has been lost, or my job has been furloughed, or whatever the case may be." And you look around and you say, "All right, looks like we're going to be roommates for a while. Maybe I..." Like, do you think that those guys that were having those beers with their buddies discussing their plan, how they now swallowed the plan and now they're just saying, "All right, I'm just going to keep that to myself. And don't say anything that I was going to break up with her, but I'm gonna give this a go right here while we have to.
Right. I can't find another place. I don't have any money." Brianna is listening in Naperville. Hey, Brianna.
Hey, Cap.
How are you?
I would be better if my fiance was not home as often.
So is it to the point where, I'm rethinking the whole engagement thing, or I just need some space?
We're not there yet, but I work remotely from home, so I'm used to it.
Uh-huh.
But he's a chiropractor, so their hours have been cut, so he's home so much more now. And it's getting to a point where, I mean, he's playing Call of Duty all the time. He's screaming at the phone, and I just, this needs to end.
So are
I need my space.
So are you looking at the situation going, okay, this is not good. Where am I going to be if I marry this dude 10 years down the road? Go, oh, God, I got a warning signal during that corona thing, and I didn't act on it.
100%. That's where I'm at. Like I said, I love him to death, but everyone needs space. And right now, with everyone being quarantined and at home, it's getting to a point where people are really getting it under each other's skins. And I'm learning more things that I dislike about him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, we're trying to, you know, rewatch the Cubs win the World Series, and we watched the LA Rams and Kansas City game yesterday, but it's not the same. So your attention isn't there, and the little things are starting to set us off, you know?
Right. It's like, all right, enough, please. Just give me some space here, please. Yeah.
But luckily I have you guys, so I have like a, you know, sanctuary when I get in the car and I have to... You know, whether I got my ear pods in at home or I'm driving somewhere, I'm like, okay, thank God, you know?
Brianna, we love you. Please think long and hard and just try and stay, work out, take a walk, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for getting us through this.
You're the best. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye, Kat.
See ya. There you go. Sounds like a sweetheart, Brianna. Like a sweetheart.
Were you just trying to talk her out of not going through with it? It seemed as if you were almost talking her out.
No, you mean, was I trying to talk her into not going through this? No, I just want her to understand, eyes wide open here.
Yeah.
That's what, Brianna sounds adorable. She does. She sounds like she's watching the freaking Rams and Chiefs game. She's rewatching the Cubs playoffs. Like, she sounds like a really cool chick. She does.
Really cool chick.
She does.
Oh, Cap. So next segment, are we putting on her fiance who's playing Call of Duty to then do the old radio bit of the fiance on the line while you talk to the other one to find out their true feelings on the situation?
No shot. I've got Brianna's back on this one.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brianna, deep breaths, meditation. Headspace app is amazing. I meditate every day. It's amazing. Trust me. 312-332-3776. We've got a bunch of calls. We'll get to those next.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Boom, 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 boom.
All right, Carmen and Yurko will join us in a little bit for Crosstalk, Waddle and Sylvie at 2 o'clock. Let's go to Terrence in Hammond, Indiana. Hey, Terrence, what's going on, Sparky?
Hey, what's going on, Cap, Chris and Danny?
How you doing?
Pretty good. So, hopefully I'm not the anomaly, but I'm actually going through a corona heaven, if you could. I know that's like probably an oxymoron.
Yeah.
I got out of a seven-year relationship. Well, she was actually my fiance, but I got out of a seven-year relationship at the end of last year, and but she still stayed with me until, you know, about mid-January.
Uh-huh.
So when she finally moved out, you know, this kind of the whole, you know, COVID-19 pandemic kind of started. And the first month was kind of hard, but now it's like I could go home. I'm a truck driver. So I get home from work. I can play the game. I can watch the, you know, the old reruns and stuff. I don't have to hear about you're on the game too long. Why can't we do this? Why can't we watch, you know, The Notebook or something like that? You know, so like I don't got anybody like kind of like nagging at me, because before it was like I would play the game, but I know I would only be able to do it for an hour, you know, or else she started complaining. I know I couldn't, you know, I couldn't have the boys over for beers and stuff like that. I could only do that once a month, you know. So now it's just like I can have my company over. I can have my female company over now too. And now since everybody got a lockdown, I can actually kick them out, you know, before it gets too late.
So you are in a much better place now.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, Cap. You know, like I said, it's hard dealing with women in general, I guess, but having to be cooped up with them, I wouldn't even know how I would deal with that right now. Because it was, like you said, it was on the rocks before this. So this probably would have just sent it over the hill.
Hey, man, stay safe and healthy, okay?
Oh, you too. Keep cranking away.
You too. God bless you. I would say this, and again, I'm in a phenomenal marriage. It'll be 16 years in June. Phenomenal. I was not phenomenal in my first one. I wasn't a good communicator. She's a great mother to our son. All of that. It was just not the right marriage. That all said, if you're in a relationship where one is dictating to the other, I'm not talking about Terrence getting dictated by his fiance or someone else dictating to the woman. Either way, you can only have this then. You can only play your game for an hour. Like, you're in the wrong relationship then, and Terrence learned it. There is obviously compromise that goes into every situation. If my wife says, hey, honey, let's go do this. If that's important to her, I want to do that because it's important to her. But I also don't want someone saying to me, yeah, you watch too much sports. No, this is who I am. But you better know who you're marrying before you take that step. You better know. You're not going to change them. You are never going to control them. They are either going to resent you for trying or it's going to be hell. So if you're in a relationship and you go, okay, I care about that person greatly and they're a really good person, but you get one bite at the apple, man. One bite. That's it. And then we're gone. We don't know how much time we have. May live to 90. You may not. You better be happy in doing it because it makes you happy because you're marrying the person that you care about the most. Not because, well, I can't. How am I going to get out of this now? Nope. Sorry. Not a good enough reason. Mitchell's in Des Plaines. Let's see. Hey, Mitchell.
Hey, interesting topic. You know, we shouldn't use this as a tipping point, David, for people to get out of their marriages. Like you just said, and I will stress, that if you haven't done your homework and basically checked up all the reasons why you're not compatible, this is not a great time during this pandemic to figure out that you have interpersonal issues with your spouse, because the cost of divorce is devastating. Okay, number one. Number two, if an idiot person decides not to live with someone prior to marriage, like you just said a few minutes ago, okay, we're on the same page, you know, it's a miracle, that it's not a good idea. You should live with somebody for a long time and get a really good feeling of how that person is. Because the moment when things get really dark and gloomy and you're now sequestered in a quarantine, that's not the perfect time to find out that you have all these interpersonal issues with your spouse. Now, if you decide to go and you get a divorce, guess what, folks? Look at the monetary losses, your loss of assets. Yeah,
but Mitchell, look, and again, it's a hit, man. I went through it. It sucks. And appreciate your call, by the way. Have a great day. It sucks. It's hard. However, you get one, as I said, you get one life to live, man. You got to be happy and healthy. And if you're not happy, you got to find a way to plow through. You do. You just do. 312-332-3776. At least he didn't bring up Mitchell Trubisky.
We wanted you to ask Mitch in Des Plaines if he was married.
No.
What do you mean? You can't in and give relationship advice, marital advice, if you're not married. And I got a feeling Mitch still lives in his mom and dad's basement. No offense to him if he does.
But
that's what I take from every time Mitch calls in. I just want to know if he was married.
Can I give a shout out to Mitchell in Des Plaines? Because I feel like he gave the same energy to the marriage conversation that he gives to you about Trubisky. Like, I was surprised halfway through he didn't flip it to Ryan Pace and Trubisky. I thought that that's where that call was going.
Yeah, when it didn't, I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Well, I mean, that's not very nice, but come on. He had thoughts. He had marriage thoughts.
Bob is in Woodridge. He's in Corona Hell. Hey, Bob, what's going on, buddy?
Cap, how are you?
How are you?
Well, I've got interesting stuff. My marriage has never been stronger because of this, but we've had some interesting circumstances over the last few months. My wife was diagnosed with lung cancer in October, obviously that's a very big concern of us during this time because she can't go out. She's a high risk. We found out last week my sister-in-law, who's a special needs person in Palos, was taken to the hospital because she has coronavirus.
Oh, boy.
And we can't see her. Nobody can talk to her. And we're dealing with having to postpone or reschedule my daughter's wedding at the end of May. So, you know, you talk about stress. You talk about, you know, everything dropping on you at once. But, you know, we're fortunate because my wife and I have been married for 33 years. We have a strong relationship. We've got strong family around us. And even though this has been a living hell for most people, including ourselves, it has actually made us stronger.
Right. So the two of you are banding together and going through all of this.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, our kids are gone, you know, so we live in a condo. So I'm working from home, which hasn't been fun because I'm an outside sales guy.
Yep.
So having to bang on the phones all day is not my favorite thing to do. So I found a party room in our condo building where I'm working out of when I'm not on the phone in the car. But, you know, it's just it puts everything to the test. And, you know, even though you're going through tough times and you normally, you know, every marriage has it, for us, not only since October, since my wife has been diagnosed with this horrible disease, but, you know, going through and working on wedding stuff together because, you know, for a while it was like, all right, just tell me what day I have to show up and don't tell me how much you're spending because I don't want to get upset when all these checks are flying out the window for deposits and whatnot. But now we're in this together and trying to work through things, and it's, you know, you hate to use the word fun, but it's been a little bit of fun for her and I to work together to try to resolve a lot of this stuff.
Hey, man, we'll say a prayer for you, and God bless you. Thanks. And your family, okay?
All right, pal. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
There you go. So, different perspectives, man. Different perspectives. Danny came up with this topic. I'm like, yeah, it was really good. Really good. And I had a lot of fun to hear from different people out there. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in exactly 2 minutes.